The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
I want to talk to you about the biggest story of the week, and probably will be the biggest story of the month. And I can give a real personal side of this argument, because I've been in a country that has dealt with this issue in the past. By far the biggest story that came out this week was the accusations and the testimony in Pennsylvania against 300 members of the Catholic Church. Now, before we get to this story, I want to make things crystal clear. I want to make where I stand on this issue 100% clear so there can be no mistake. If you take a kid, an innocent kid, you beat him, you assault him or her, you rape them, you make them perform sexual acts of any kind on them or to you, you are the scum of the earth. I put you in the same category and I hold you in the same contempt that I hold ISIS, that I hold people like Hitler, Mao, Pol Pot, and any other despot that has ever graced the face of this earth. I don't think you're better than anyone. I think you are scum. Not only do I judge you, but I will very rarely say this. I not only judge you, but I condemn you as the most sickest, vilest piece of shit that I can think of. And excuse my French. That is how badly I think of you. If you knew about this, or suspected it, and did nothing, and you turned a blind eye to it, not only are you as bad as them, but you are also worse because you were a coward. You are a coward for turning away from someone in need. This is an absolute truth in my mind. I have zero tolerance. I know people think, you know, with zero tolerance policies are not good lately. I have zero tolerance for sexual assault of any description, but especially on kids. This does not change regardless of your age, your race, your gender, your faith. There is nothing you can be, there is no group you can be part of that will make me go, well, no. You're scum. This is pure evil. I say this as someone who used to be a Catholic and who left the Catholic Church not once but twice. I live in a country called Ireland. And it wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things, Ireland was going through the exact same issue. There is a sickness in the Catholic Church. Now, if you're a Catholic, I don't want you to switch off. I'd ask you to listen to me because I'm going to make some points that you need to hear. But that also anyone who wants to pile on the Catholics right now needs also to hear. There is clearly an illness inside the Catholic Church. This has happened now in other countries like Ireland. There is something going on. But there is also a culture within your religion that puts priests on a pedestal. Some of the reasons, and I won't share all of them, but some of the reasons I left the Catholic Church was because I was told I questioned priests too much. That all, we put priests on a pedestal. Now, I'm not saying if you're a Catholic in America, I know some places don't do this, but in Ireland, we were told this, and this is what we were taught, that the priest knew everything. That the priest was appointed by God. That they were servants of God. And that they were automatically right, no matter what. There were also people who shared a vision that supposedly happened. I think it was in Lourdes, where Mary said, "Leave the priests alone, I alone will deal with them." Now, I'm not going to trample on anyone's belief as a Catholic. Why I started the show the way I did today is because people will have this generalization, well, all Catholics are bad. The problem is the Catholic Church. And we will dogpile. And we will make this about generalizations, and nothing will get done. The Catholic Church has a problem. I don't know how big of a problem it is, but it has clearly got a problem where you have this sexual abuse going on in Ireland, in other places, in America. How do we stop this? Because the temptation in 2018 and in a world where we love generalizations will be just to go, you know what the problem is? It's Catholics. Catholics are just bad. I know plenty of good Catholics. Don't agree with them on everything. I don't even understand why they act the way they do. You know, there are certain things I just don't get. I don't get why Catholics pray to all these different people. They pray to Mary. They pray to Joseph. They pray to Padre Pio. They pray to St. Patrick in Ireland. I don't get that. Sorry, I just don't. You know, I was brought up, cut out the middleman. If you want to pray for something, pray to God. He's the one who will ultimately decide. You know, I don't pray to St. Joseph to go pray to God. Go to the middleman. God is there. He'll listen to you. He might not give what you want, but he's there. There are certain things I don't understand, but if it gives you comfort and if that's your vessel to get to God, go for it. I will defend your right to do that. I don't understand it, but go for it. But Catholics, we need to create a culture that says we need to call this evil out. There is no justification for this. If you read some of the transcripts, some of the transcripts are... Let me be blunt with you. And this... I know people say to me, "Oh, John, you're like Glenn at times and you want to be Gandhi and all this stuff and Kumbaya and all..." Let me show the other side to me, the unchristian side of it. There are times when I read some of the transcripts this week that quite honestly... Just give me 10 minutes alone with that priest. Give me 10 minutes alone with him. I guarantee you he will never even think about touching another kid again. Now, you can put in there what you want, but it wouldn't be a conversation. I would do ungodly things to him. Because I have no tolerance for it. And after I was finished with even 5 minutes of beating the ever-loving crap out of him, I would castrate him. We need to send a message to society that says, if you even think about it, it is wrong. And no Ted's talks. It isn't just a sexual orientation. That is what I feel. I know it's not right, but it's in my head, it's justifiable. I think you need to send a message that certain actions in society will never be tolerated. And if you do that to a kid, you really are the lowest of the low. You are scum. But here's the problem. Because we love generalizations, what I fear is everyone's just going to say, well, Catholics suck. And then Catholics are going to ultimately defend it. They'll defend their church, they'll defend their religion. And what they're actually doing is defending what they believe, but people will misconstrue it as defending bad behavior. We have major obstacles in this world. We face major, major issues. And they're not the hot topics of the day. They're not the things that get shared on Twitter, like Amorosa and John Brennan. They're actually serious issues, serious principles. But if we continue to act and be outraged and just throw everyone under the bus because they belong to a certain label and they fit in our pretty little box, what's going to happen is we're going to get nowhere. We need to create a culture where we call this evil out for what it is, but we also need to create a culture where people will speak out against their own side. I would challenge you today to think about, just take a minute out, and think of any section of society who calls out their own side, whether it's in religion, whether it's in politics, whether it's in sports. How many people are actually questioning their own side? We're all great at pointing the finger at other people. Oh, well, it's them Catholics that are the problem. Oh, it's those Democrats that are the problem. It's those Muslims that are the problem. But do we actually create a culture where if you're a Catholic right now, you can come out and go, look, I'm a Catholic. I believe it. I love my religion. But this is wrong. Do we have that? Do we give them? Do we accept them? Do we embrace them? Because let me be very blunt with you, and I don't force my religion. If you are a long-term listener, you know I'm a Christian. I don't hide it. If I'm out in public, I'm usually wearing a big cross. It's not hard to distinguish John's a Christian. I am loyal to my God and Jesus, and that is it. I don't have a religion. But if you're a Christian, let me talk to you directly for a minute. We have the power to change the world. We have the power to impact it. We have the power and the message of Jesus Christ that can change the world. That can truly make this world a better place. Yet, what impact have we had on society as a whole? Do we actually think of ourselves as Christians, or do we care more about our man-made religion? Now, there are people in America who don't ever get this and never quite understand how what it feels like to live in another country. I grew up in Ireland. I grew up in Ireland where it's mostly Catholic. And up the north, it's 50-50, Catholic and Protestants. I grew up in a country where if you were a Protestant, you were automatically Satan's spawn. And Protestants said equally the same and treated Catholics the exact same way. Yet they both claim to be Christian. Either we can unite and change this world under certain principles. If you're a Christian, that you believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That you claim Jesus Christ is your Savior. And that you believe scriptures are some type of gift from God. Or at least a roadmap for how to live a good life. Sure, you may worship Mary, and sure, you may think communion is actually the body of Christ, or you think it's a symbol of Christ, or whatever you think. We may disagree on different saints, but we need to unite on what's important. Because what's happening in this world is this world is going to go through major changes. And if there is no reason, if there is no logic, if there is no side truly for good, what happens? We are seeing a culture decline because we are living in, as Glenn talks about an awful lot, and I don't use this word a lot because I just lump it as another most popular word that we use today, postmodernism. There is no logic. How many people use logic and reason today? How many people use logic and reason? Not their side. Doesn't matter what your side says. Logic and reason. How many people are brave enough, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian or Jewish or atheist or Muslim, to say, I'm going to question with boldness everything I believe. And if my answer that I come to and I stand for it happens to go against quote unquote my side, I'm willing to do that. We need to get our act together. We really do. We are coming to a crossroads. Now, I believe that we have the tools right now that we can write our future and it will be more prosperous than ever before. I still believe that. Why do I believe that? Well, since I'm talking about Christianity, let me start there. I believe in the principles. Even if you don't believe in Jesus, I believe in the principles that he spoke about. I believe in the individual. I believe man is inherently meant to be free. I also believe we have the potential to be freer than ever before, not only because of my quote-unquote Christianity and that message, but also the message of the idea of America. That idea that man is inherently meant to be free and that you have certain rights and that truth is eternal. When you talk and when you read your founders' writings, the idea of America, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, if you truly follow them, and we actually have a dream where, and we live in a society where America finally fulfills the check it wrote 240 years ago, where all men is free, all women are free, everyone is free to pursue their happiness, that is a country and a world I want to live in. But to get there, you also need to understand what the founders wrote in the Declaration of Independence and why they signed it off so critically the way they did. It's often understated. Everyone can quote it, but no one ever really pays attention to it. And it's relevant for every one of us. We pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Why did they say honor was sacred? Because you need good guys. You need good people. You need people to stand for liberty, for freedom, for the individual. But you need them to be good. You need them to be honorable. You need them to be consistent. It was why they wrote every word that they wrote meant something. There is no word in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, or the Bill of Rights there by mistake. There, every word was thought about, was considered, was debated. And I believe divinely inspired. They knew life was important. They said it was the first right in the Declaration of Independence, right at the top. All men are created equal, endowed with their creator, with life. We knew fortunes was important to them because, again, they weren't the poor people of the day. They were the greedy capitalists, the bourgeoisie of the day. They were the wealthy landowners. They were men of stature in society who signed that Declaration of Independence. But only one word was so critical that they said, you know what? We need to show, we know life is important. We know our fortunes are important. But there's only one word that is so key to that argument. It's honor. Who is going to be the people who act with honor? And by the way, this is not some Republican or Democrat or Donald Trump or Never Trumpers or Christians or Jews or this isn't anything to do with any group. This is about individually. Will you act with honor? Will you be consistent? When it comes to politics, to your side, will you call out your side when they are wrong? If you're a Christian, will you stand with your Christian brothers and sisters? Say, we may disagree over some policies, but the principles we agree on. And it is time to unite. And that we have a responsibility. We have a duty to stand together and be a beacon of light. Because here's the thing. Our job... our job, anytime I say about what our job is, I always get very uncomfortable. Because it's not my duty to tell you what your job is. You need to find that for yourself. But if you're a Christian, you need to understand one thing. Today, in Christianity, in politics, in life, everyone wants to be the hero. Everyone wants to go, I'll fix this. I'll be the savior. I will be the one that you can point to. Whether it's your local priest, whether it's your bishop, whether it's your cardinal, whether it's your popes, whether it's your head of your churches. We have to understand our job is not to be the hero. Our job is not to be the greatness, because we are not the greatness in this story. Our job is to testify to the greatness. This show is not about me. My job is not to say, hey, I'm this Irish guy, come follow me. No, don't follow me. My idea is, my job, my duty, my responsibility is to testify to the greatness of the idea of America. It's about ideas, not people. If you're a Christian, we need to be, let me talk to you as a Christian for a second. If you want to be a Christian, you need to be worried less about the pharaohs and the chief priests and the Pharisees and act more like John the Baptist. If you're a Christian, you should know that reference. And to the Catholic Church, your response this week, quite honestly, was pathetic. It was pathetic. Anyone who can look at this story from Pennsylvania, an abuse over 70 years, and the Pope takes 2 days to respond, is disgusting. It's weak, and it's cowardly. I hope Catholics wake up and stand up to their own people and say this is wrong. Because the Catholic Church has done a lot of good. In America, if it wasn't for the Catholics, I don't know where the pro-life movement would be. But we need to stand as Christians and understand our duty and our responsibility. Because as Ronald Reagan always famously said about the future of the world, if not you, who? If not now, when? We are at a point in time where evil is growing, tyranny is growing. Who is going to be that beacon of light for the world? Who's going to testify to its existence? If Twitter bans you, if Facebook gets you off Facebook, are you still going to do it? How are you going to do it? We need to be the side of righteousness. And not judgment and not hate, but righteousness. And stand for what is morally right. And point to a future that we all can live freer. And we can all can live more prosperously. And finally, we can fulfill the dream your founders wrote 240 years ago.
Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on demand.
The Blaze Radio Network.